Rave Radio. Well, we're here tearing down from ISE 2015, watching the booths rapidly, that took weeks to put up, rapidly go down around us. Gary, how you feeling?
Good. It's the end of day three. I'm actually excited because I saw so many cool things today.
What'd you see that was cool, Gary?
A lot of stuff, Joel.
Did you see the rideable gaming and vending Jedi motorcycle?
No, I did not. I missed the Star Wars. The only thing here that had Star Wars on it, I actually didn't get to see, and everyone else got to see. So, yes, I missed that.
Check out my podcast of the rideable vending machine and Jedi game.
Well, I missed that, unfortunately. But okay, so first of all, I went to Jupiter, and I saw their collaboration system, the CSR 4K, and it's amazing. It's $6,000, so it's at the high end. The rest of these systems are like $500 to $2,500.
Sure, yeah.
This one's $6,000. Okay, but here's the difference. It includes the Canva software, but the big difference is, unlike the others, it is you don't just get to do a 2x2 window when you put your content up wirelessly. First of all, you can send any content to it wirelessly by just logging onto the network and make sure you're on the same network it's on.
Sure.
You open up a Chrome browser or you use any sort of Chrome application, and it puts a little image on there, and you just click the image, and boom, it lets you send your whole screen, it lets you send just the application, it lets you send part of your screen to the big screen, 4K resolution. So you can show as many images you want. However, instead of just showing four in a 2x2 configuration, you can put up 50 in little windows, you can put up four where you're overlaying them on top of each other. So it's basically like a high-end Jupiter system, like a Canvas product, but with a low-end price tag, right? It's a $6,000 version of it. So it has some limited capabilities. It doesn't do everything, and it doesn't have an unlimited number, but it's not like your typical collaboration system. That's a hot product because it hits a sweet spot. The margins are much higher than the typical product out there.
Okay, you said the magic word.
Yes, exactly. The margins are going to be higher, and so that's going to be popular. I was very, very impressed with that, and I think everyone else will be when they check it out. I also went to a couple other booths I'd like to talk to you about, Joel, if you'll let me.
Sure.
You know Dan Dugan, right?
Well, I'm waiting for you for a ride back to the hotel anyway, so feel free.
You know Dan Dugan, right?
Yeah.
From sound design, Dan
sure.
Dugan sound design. That guy is so cool. He always, you know, he designs his own stuff. He markets his own stuff. He does everything himself. He did the coolest demo for us for a software interface and for managing mics. So you know how when you have, let's say you're in a conference and you have four mics on at the same time? Right, and whenever someone's not speaking, you know how there's all that background noise,
sure.
And especially when
of
you're
course.
Recording something. He has come up with an algorithm through his software that's included with all of his products now that when you have four mics on at the same time, or as many mics on as you want, actually up to eight at
Let
the
me
same
guess,
time.
He uses the mics as comparators to eliminate background noise.
Sort of. What it does instead of eliminating it, because he says when you eliminate noise, it's weird because you have this
yes.
weird silence and
Absolutely.
It makes a different kind of noise. He uses an algorithm to make it sound like there's only one mic on. So it sounds exactly the same as if you had only one mic on, even if you have eight mics spread around the facility. And we actually demoed it. He turned on all eight mics.
Right.
Then four mics in our case.
Right.
On
now,
all
for those
mics.
Of you in the rental business, you'll understand that for every open mic, you technically cut gain before feed
exactly what
back
he said.
By half.
Right.
Right.
Exactly what he said. So he had four mics open, and he said, okay, now listen to the sound. Then he said, okay, now let's turn just one mic on. Listen to the sound, and now let's turn four mics on and use my algorithm. He did that, and it sounded exactly the same as only having one mic on.
Cool.
And it was significant noise reduction, significant sort of ambient noise and echo and weird, you know, those weird noises that you get. This is going to be a big thing, I think, in small, medium-sized rooms where you have mics around a table or
sure.
mics around a facility, and potentially,
What's
I guess,
price
for
point?
Rental. I didn't ask him that. I'm fortunate I didn't ask him. We did shoot a video on it. It's going to ship in about 2 months. I'm not even sure that he set a price, but he said the software is included with all of his hardware price. Any product that has a mic mixer, mixing and managing capability, has this software capability. He showed a new little mixer keypad product that I thought was cool as well, which we shot a video of. Spinetics, I mean, that digital signage company, they were exciting. Media Lawn had Overture. which is a really neat software-based control system. It's definitely going to win one of our awards this year. It's one of the coolest things I saw at the show. I'm running through a whole bunch of Oblong Industries. That's the guy who did all the technology for Minority Report, you know, all the fancy sure. kind of cool graphics and technology for Minority Report and conceptually how things are going to work in the future. Well, he has a UC conferencing collaboration system, but it's room-based. It's like a whole room package in one. It's certainly not something that's competitive necessarily to Cisco and it's sort of like a I don't want to say dumbed down. It's a miniaturized version of a telepresence system that's a lot less expensive, network based, and is gesture based. So you don't have to actually have buttons and fancy control system in there. So I was really impressed with that. We actually got to them late in the day. Bose, of course, is heavily into the commercial AV business now. A lot of people didn't realize they were going to have a whole line of commercial AV products. It's Dante networking capable. I'm sorry? You want me to talk closer to the mic? Am I being too loud?
I want you to stop changing hands because we're getting mic handling noise.
Sorry. I'll stop changing hands. I did not mean to do that. I'm not a great mic guy. You know, I'm a video guy. I'm an audience.
Yeah.
You remember that term? Yeah, I'm an audience. I talked about Jupiter already. Listen Technologies. I can't remember if I told you about the Listen Technologies product. Did I talk about that already?
No.
In an earlier podcast? So Listen Technologies has basically an IR transmission system for $500 that blasts IR all around a room. It's only one box, but it blasts IR all around a room. I think it's 75,000 square foot room, and you only need one transmitter. And the receivers, it's a special kind of plastic they created, and the receivers are the same plastic. So regardless of where the receiver is, whether it's turned around or pointed, because in this case, this IR doesn't need direct line of sight. It's bouncing all over.
Right, it's powerful enough to bounce.
Exactly. That wherever you put the receiver, it still picks up the audio for $500. And what was interesting in that interview is that literally, Corey Schaefer said, "We're going after Sennheiser and we're going after Williams Sound with this." So she was pretty, you don't most of the time find companies naming their competitors when they're pitching a product. And
no,
I thought that was cool.
No, and Corey's usually very careful, too.
Yeah, I mean, and she was very professional about it, but she said, "Look, we have to admit, we haven't been the best at this segment of the market, and we're going back and trying to reclaim that segment of the market."
They certainly have the power to do it.
They do. They definitely do. Philips digital signage product line was super impressive. I'm going to write about, and I know you're doing podcasts on, you're going to write about a lot of the cool stuff that we saw here. But for now, I mean, I just threw, 10 manufacturers at you at one time. I tell you, attendance on the show, over 59,000.
Right.
Mind-boggling. 59,000. Attendance of this show is almost twice that of Infocom. Show's only 12 years old, right? And I just shocked at how fast this show has grown, and now it's going to be a four-day show.
Yep. I know. I hear you. For me, the impressive stuff was, this afternoon I had to take a little time and go look at staging equipment.
Yeah, rest.
So I hit Barco and Christy and took a look at their latest staging machines. That was great. But I'll tell you what I loved, the Harman booth. I really enjoyed looking at Harman's array of, it's the first time I've ever seen them display all their products in one place.
Yeah.
And those, the little line pods for each line within the booth. Harman's developing a hell of an organization for AV.
Yeah, what they've done is, I think it'll be really interesting to see how they leverage AMX and AMX leverages them, because Harman has IQNet, and then AMX, of course, has their control protocol.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to see how that synergy goes, and we'll just have to wait and see. Crestron introduced 40 new products here, since we're speaking about AMX. We've got to talk about Crestron. They introduced over 40 new products. I asked them if everything they talked about was 4K, and I said, "So your booth theme is 4K?" And they were like, "No, actually our booth theme is about putting everything on the network," which I thought was interesting because they had all these 4K
products.
Right,
and the giant banners are about 4K everywhere.
Yeah, but and they are talking about end-to-end networking and how they're moving towards the network.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had the right message, and it's a good interview. I interviewed Robin Van Muen, who's the head of Crestron in Europe, and obviously they were right there at the beginning of the hall. They're the first booth you see. I mean, they're definitely a force here in Europe in control. Epson is another company I went to. They have gone from having no high brightness projectors 2 years ago to having one of the best high brightness projection lines in the market.
I was blown away. I went by. I couldn't even get, they were so busy, I couldn't even get anybody to talk to me, but I looked at the machines.
Yeah, I mean, the big problem they're going to have is that no one has Epson lenses sitting around, so they can't take advantage of the rental staging market. As we said in the podcast earlier this week, Panasonic, same way. Panasonic has a whole bunch of new high brightness projectors. Samsung, I mean, they're huge here. They're going to take a whole haul. We said that earlier, or yesterday, we talked about that. I'm just blown away. I mean, this is a great show. Mike Blackman and his crew do a phenomenal job. I'm this half the size. I mean, we're talking about a show that's almost half the size of CES now.
Right, right. Unbelievable, and considerably larger than Infocom in the States. I had a long talk today, and the video podcast is up with Dave Labuscus about the direction that Infocom is going in, and you know, the show in general. And you know, obviously they've put together 11 shows now. There's 11 Infocom shows around the world.
Uh-huh.
And they're using it. I mean, the money that they're generating is coming back finally to member benefits, which I think is great.
Yeah, I mean, a show like this is also a member benefit because, I think it's awesome that you can come to Europe, and I would encourage more people from North America and more people from Asia to come to Europe next year because you can come here and you get an Infocom and a CD wrapped in one.
Right.
Now, people are going to go to Infocom. This isn't going to hurt the attendance of Infocom because that's the flagship commercial AV show. But you can benefit from getting your eyes open to see how things are done differently in a different part of the world. And there are, I don't know, a couple of hundred, maybe 300 companies that exhibit here that don't even have a presence in the United States. You
absolutely
may discover a gem.
I saw at least three control system companies I had never heard of before. You know, I mean, there's
that's
a lot
point
of those kind of systems. I mean, we talk about Crestron and AMX because they so dominate the field in the United States,
right,
along with Extron now.
Right. Extron is actually what they're, you know, we haven't talked about Extron the whole time because they don't exhibit here.
Right.
But at the same time we were here, they launched two products, and they are taking a significant chunk of the market on the configured systems. So
I'm not even thinking just significant chunk of the market. I think that they're going to be very competitive for number one within the next 2 years.
Yeah, they are definitely making a calculated play. But, getting back to this show, the home AV section was beefed up more. The UC section, Unified Communications, Logitech, I thought they were going out of business, had a big presence here.
Yep.
Every segment of the digital signage was way bigger. In fact, Mike Blackman told me, the managing director for ISE told me earlier this week, that this is now the world's largest digital signage show. So it means it's larger than the digital signage show, so a digital signage expo. So that is interesting, right? I mean, all of a sudden you have a show that's a commercial AV, home AV show being the biggest digital signage show.
Right.
So we're going to have to start using that term as a regular moniker to describe this show. But I don't know. Kudos go out to everybody. I mean, I sound like a broken record, but everybody's done just a phenomenal job to build the show up where it is. And there's a lot of ownership, too. A lot of the manufacturers feel ownership and pride in the fact that they helped take this show from nowhere, non-existent 12 years ago, to what it is now.
Let's ask this, since this is the wrap-up. Who was the worst?
The worst booth?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think it's unfortunate that there's still not companies showing at this show.
I'd have
to give that to any.
So those who weren't present were the worst.
I mean, anybody who's not here at this show, I think you're making a mistake. I don't want to beat them up. I would rather see them here. I just think that this is a good. And you know, the education side of this is so important. People are realizing that just perusing booths is half of what you should do, and the other half is the education. And the education side of this has really been beefed up. I mean, there's not as much education here as there is at Infocom yet, but there's about to be. Because
right,
they're about to get a whole bunch of new classrooms when they open up that new building up there, and we're going to see a lot more education.
You know, one of the things that actually encouraged me about this show is watching of course, I go out by the back loading dock and hang out and talk to the union crews. Was that in the staging end of the industry, and I think in every part of the industry, women have a very strong presence in this industry in Europe.
Yeah, it's definitely different than what you would what your perception would be.
Right.
And certainly there are more women percentage-wise than in Europe involved in the commercial AV industry specifically than there are in the United States percentage-wise. And I think we're still behind in the U.S., North America, but they're definitely – I wouldn't say it's 50-50 here, but it's definitely in the range of 70-30.
Right, right. Yeah, a much stronger presence, and that's great.
We're so done, Joe. I can't believe it.
I know we're done. This is weird. And not only that, but as we're sitting here, things are coming down around us at a rate so rapid that it's actually scary.
Who had the best booth, do you think, on the show floor? I'd have to give Samsung some kudos. Their booth was really well, really, really well laid out. And the way that they presented their stuff was very well done.
I like Samsung. I liked NEC a lot because it was application-oriented. I always like Lang. I mean, Lang...
Well, Lang's always got this giant, beautiful-looking booth.
Right. And it, you know why? Because it's
staging you let
the,
guys.
Right. Let the staging guys say, okay, well, how would you build this? And they say, we're not going to build a hardware store. We're going to build applications. And I think NEC did a lot of that
NEC's
this year,
is
too.
It's like a city, and it's application-based. You go
right.
into... NEC, new 4K display. Sharp,
right.
new 4K display.
Nice. Everybody knew 4K display.
I mean, and both projectors and monitors, everybody was talking 4K.
The Barco booth was exceptional.
Barco booth was very creative.
Right.
And easy to get around, which
right.
has not been their claim to fame in the past few years because their booth has been so packed and it's so hard to get around. This year, much better. Christy, of course, I like their wide open concept where everything's around the edge and
sure.
you get in the middle and you can walk anywhere you want to go.
It encourages people to gather in your booth.
Yeah, and I said to you yesterday, I think it was the first day podcast we had, I talked about how awesome the Sony booth. It's like, I don't know what it's wood, but it looks like concrete. I mean, it really looks like
right.
concrete.
No, yeah, it's designed to look like concrete. Yeah,
yeah. And Epson, I mean, this is the biggest presence they've had at this show. They look good. Vivitech. I don't know if you got Jesse.
I didn't see Vivitech.
So Vivitech is owned by Delta. And even though you don't know who Delta is, possibly, everyone's used Delta because Delta builds more projectors than probably any company in the world for other manufacturers.
Right.
Everyone from Barco to, I mean, anyone. I mean, InFocus, I mean, you think of a company. Vivitech is actually owned by Delta, and so they have access to all that stuff. And they're launching a huge line of stuff here, everything from little portable projectors to 12,000 Anselm-inch projectors. So they're in the game in a big way, and... You know, one of my first pieces of electronics when I was a kid was a Vivitech. Not a projector or anything like that, but I mean, it's a brand name that's got some branding power behind it. And I think that if they, you know, they're well positioned.
Yep.
So we'll see how that works out for them.
In general, I thought the best, I mean, it's interesting because Infocom's theme, of course, is creating experiences.
Yeah, you're telling me that.
And
yeah.
I think in general, the booths I liked the best were all very, very application-based. They weren't shows of hardware because, frankly, we get to see hardware in a dozen different ways. I get an email. I get YouTube. I get, you know, I mean, we see the hardware. What was great was to come and see the applications.
Yeah, and I think a lot of manufacturers went that direction.
Yep.
And I, you know, again... Hats off to everyone. This was a great show. Joel, I want to say thank you to you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you were awesome. We love working with you. And, you know, you not only solve a lot of technical problems for us, but you help us do a lot of creative things we wouldn't get to do normally.
It's fun to work with this team anyway. I mean, the people that were here this year, all of them, and it was a heck of a crowd from Rave. Amazing job in documenting this show, in getting interviews with everybody. There's just nobody that covers it like this.
We don't know how many videos we have yet, but we know it's more than 1,000. So I don't think we have an actual final count yet, but I'm waving over.
We're still
1,300-ish. Sarah's just yelled at me, 1,300-ish, which would be about 100 more than last year or right around that number. So maybe we got 1,300 last year, too. I don't remember. But I know that you know, we have enough videos that will keep you busy for a long time, enough stories written, enough podcasts recorded, enough video casts done that if you spend a week on our site, you still will not have seen everything.
Absolutely not.
And it's all at ravepubs.com/ISE2015.
See you there. We're wrapping up. Tear the tents down, clean the cages.
We're done. We're going to eat.
All right.
We're flying home.
Thanks, everybody.